The Rebbe says, we're going to explain and answer the question that all the Mepharshim are asking. One of the greatest mysteries of Chumash is that in Parshat Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, which always comes out at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, right? Zayin Adar always comes out when Moshe Rabbeinu's name is missing that time of the year. So his name is not mentioned in Parshat. It says Va'ata, 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 everything's Va'ata. And you, and you, and you doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name. At the times we most expect Moshe Rabbeinu's name, like in the Haggadah also, right? So there it's just mentioned by Yinid Vashav Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's not mentioned directly in the entire Haggadah Shal Pesach, with the exception of that one pasuk. Other than that, Moshe is not really mentioned. He's hidden in the Haggadah, and he's hidden in this parasha. This is the question. Hinek Siv, it says in pasuk, Ben Chacham Yisamach Av, a wise son causes the father to rejoice. A Ben Chacham. Umahu Chachma. So what does that mean, a Ben Chacham? Does that mean that he has straight A's? Yeah, he did very well on it. He did very well on his SATs. What does it mean, Ben Chacham? He's a smart son. Mawa Chachma. So it says in Pasuk, Vayomar La'odom, Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. Says Beferish and Pasuk, what's the biggest Chachma in the world? Yiras Hashem Tibiner Lechi, the God-fearing Jew. Hein Chachma Yiras Hashem. Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. That is Chachma, to be a Yirei Lukim, to be God-fearing. That's Chachma. Vehi Nehabari is Barach. The Rebbeinu Shlom Hu Asa Upo'al Hakol. The Rebbeinu Shlom, of course, created and does everything. And when the worlds look at them, look at the root of their existence, at any point in any world, when it looks at the source of its existence, where it comes from, they see that in of their own, on their own, they don't have anything. They don't have any existence. As we were talking a little bit about Masei Shabbos, Rakol Chiyusam Humeisa Barei. They see, if they look at the Sheresh, just like if you or I do, if we look at the Sheresh of where we come from, Me'ayin Basa, where do you come from? The answer is Me'ayin, from nothing. From the Dvar Hashem. An entire life, the entire Chiyus and energy is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makol Chiyusam Me'isa Bari Baruch Hu. Then Oz Yir Vafachad. Then they're overcome with fear, with awe, and trembling. You see that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created a world in which there are opposing forces that are mismagdim zeh lazeh. Eish umayim, fire and water, ruach va'afar, the wind and the earth, v'kol zeh. And even though they're so different, there are so many millions and billions and trillions of things in the Metzius, and they are opposed to each other. Smagdim zeh lazeh, v'kol zeh, all of this. It's only when they look at themselves and see themselves in the limited way of this world, so then they're opposites. Aval, however, when anything in this world is able to see its root, the root of its existence, where it comes from, shemekavim chiyus mimakom echad, that they all receive Chiyas life from one place. And Sham Heim Ba'achdus Gomer, there's a Sham over there in the root and source. So when anything in this world is able to look and to see the root of its existence and where it comes from, all the Chiyas comes from one place. And Sham Heim Ba'achdus Gomer, in that place, they're one. Like it says, Hein Avechadu Kulano. You have the Jews also on the Smagdim Zelazah. This one comes from this background, this one comes from another background, this one has a sense of humor, this one has no sense of humor, this one's a redhead, this one's a runatachais. How does Misnagim Zelaza? And it says, we have one father. When a person looks back to the Shairish, we see this in families, brothers and sisters, Muhammad, God forbid, over all kinds of things. And when each one looks at himself, he sees himself, mamish, the opposite of the other. But when a person is able to go all the way back to the Shairish, to the root, so the same, if you or I would stop and we look at a tree, you think, oh, okay, what tree, where is this from? So then if you know a little bit, you know what kind of, how that originally was, the sapling. And then if you know a little bit more, you know how it was seeded. But if you keep on going to the beginning, you come back to the same Baruch Shalom, you came back to the same oneness that if you ask about yourself, if you ask about anything in this world, it's when you keep on going backwards, you eventually get to the Baruch Shalom. So the emes is that in the shorish of all existence, there everything is totally one. It's only as it branches out from the shorish, from the root, from the seed, the things that there are differences, this separation, machloikis, and so on. So the emes is, the truth is, that even here everything is one. Everything is really one. They're just branches and leaves and flowers, whatever it is, of that are all coming from one shirish. That's why it says in the Zohar Kaddish that the tree of life of good, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Eitz Hadas Tevara, and the tree of life were both growing out of one shirish, out of one root. When we look at Chumash, we think that these trees have nothing in common. There might be two other sides of the gan, of the garden. These two trees never, ever, ever would have any shaykhis one with the other. But the Zohar says that the two trees were growing out of one root. That means, as we were talking about with the Shabbos, that means that these are the two most opposite. The tree of life is everything that's good, everything that's sweet. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is confusion and sorrows and problems and so on. And all of it is growing out of one root. So the emes is that even in this world, it's Adalayodab and Arham and Baruch Mordechai, as we spoke about. Really, really, if you travel all the way to the beginning, it's a scary thing. There is no difference between Haman and Mordechai. It's all Hashem Echad, it's all Ratzon Hashem. Zohar on this pasuk, and that's hinted at in this pasuk. The pasuk we saw a minute ago, and he over it, which identifies what's Chochmah, what's wisdom, Hain Yiras Hashem. The word Hain is very significant in Tayarim Tanakh. Zohar on this pasuk, Hain, Ki Hain L'Shein Achdus. In Lashon HaKodesh, in the Lashon of Tanakh, Hain means unity. Kaperish Rashi. Shekain, B'lashon Yevani, Karen La'achas, Hain. In Greek, in ancient Greek, I don't know about nowadays, but certainly in ancient Greek, Hain means one. One is called Hain. And that's what we see in Chumash. Hain an levadad yishkan. They are a nation that dwells alone. And even as the Sfarim point out, that Hain, the Gematria, Hay is 5, and Nun is 50, and we know that these numbers cannot combine with any other number to equal 10, to equal a whole number. They can only combine with each other. 5 can only be with 5. A 1 is with a 9, a 2 is with an 8, a 3 is with a 7, but when it comes to 5, 5 has no Shidduch. No other Shidduch. 5 is only 1. That was 5 and 5 equals 10. You can't make any other Shidduch, right? 5 has to be, the Shidduch has to be, it's all, in other words, 5 tells you, the word Hain tells you that when you travel back, it's all the same thing. When you return to the beginning, it's all one. So that's what Lashon Yevani Karen Lachas Hain. Zohar Harem is Hain. Ha'acht is Bar Miyus Hashem. Where does this correct Hashkafa come from? That there's no such thing as a Hisnagdus. There's no reason to make yourself Meshuggah. That really, really everything's the Ratzon HaBoyre, and that everything in its root and source returns to Hashem. That comes from Yiras Shamayim. That's what Yiras Shamayim means. That's what it means to be God-fearing. Every single thing that happens here, every single thing you see, you remember the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it means to have Yiras Shamayim. So that's what the pasuk says. Hain, which means one. Hain is oneness. Yiras Hashem. Hain. Yiras Hashem. Hi Chochma. Yiras Hashem hi chachma. Only with Yiras Hashem does a person stop with everything and ask, where is this from? Why is this? Children do that all the time, right? Children are always asking. Like things that we've been like getting away with our whole lives, the kids say, why? So it's not to daven, why? Well, I never thought of that, right? Anything you say to a kid, why? So those who have children know this. Those who don't have their own children certainly have had these exchanges with kids. Everything is why? They want to get to the shayrus. Children always want to get to that. That's why children can make up in a minute. Because children are more connected to the shayrus. We're already very fablunged. They're very, very lost. But children are so close to the beginning that when it comes to Yiras Shamayim, that's why children, it's very possible for them to make up. They get the biggest milchama. And the next day, it's nothing. Next day, next minute, it's nothing. Also, children, it's interesting. And again, I know that this could be explained psychologically or physiologically or what other allergies there are. That another thing is that you see a kid, sometimes you have a child that that'll fall down or smash into something, Hashem Yirachem. And if it would be an adult, first of all, they'd have to take you to the hospital. Second of all, you'd have to have therapy for another month or two just to get over the trauma of what you went through. With a little kid, you just shake him around a little bit and you distract him, say, hey, look over there. Oh, that's it. So the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, because children who didn't move far away from the Shayrish, so the same way when a person, like the Tzaddikim say, that when a person's in pain, I've spoken many times, when a person's in pain, he closes his eyes. Like when you say Shema, you close your eyes. Because closing your eyes means that you're trying to get back to the beginning. And when you get back to the beginning, it's all good. When you get back to the beginning, there's no pain. It's all Echad, it's all one. It's all Tachlis, it's all real. So children are so close to the Shayrish, so Mela, they don't have all this, it's not this. Therefore, children, you can't ask a kasha. Let's say the kid says, you know, I want fleishiks. So the mother makes a whole fleishik, and the kid says, no, I want milchiks. So you can ask a kid a kasha. I don't understand. You said before you want fleishiks, now you said you want milchiks. You're contradicting yourself. They look at you like your mom, shut your mind. It's a steer. No, before I want the fleishiks, I want milchiks. And it's God. Why is that a kasha? You have this ridiculous thing when the teachers tell the kids, like a kid raises her hand at 12 o'clock, she has to go to the bathroom, teacher's not going to go recess. The kid says, I didn't have to go, then now I have to go. It's not such a, you know. And they don't understand, like, what's the teacher thinking? There's shinuyim in the world. You know, things change in the world. How come it's not a kasha? If an adult says, I want fleshies, I want milk, they switch. So you say, you know, you make up your mind, you're fickle. But by a child, in the shayrus, it's hakol echad. There's no stivus by a child. A child's mood could change in a kotzel or kotzel from one extreme to the other in 10 seconds. An adult, there's more sophistication and there's more time and so on. And really, that's not how the Rebbe explains it. It says Chazal Moshem Dait and Kalis, that women are lightheaded. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent. Dait and Kalis means also they have a cleric like this, like a child. To be able to live with certain steers, to be able to live with certain contradictions, to go from this to that, and it's not a steer of chlo. That means light means that they don't. That doesn't have to be davka this way. It could be a different way too. Not davka this way. Whereas with a man, they will get more stuck in a certain thing. You know, the woman could be love davka. So for a man, it's understanding. You're contradicting yourself the same way that with a child, the contradiction or the contradiction, not a contradiction, means that there's more of a kashrus to the shayrus, and in the shayrus there are no contradictions. Is that those people who think that they know everything, they see all these, they're confounded by the theories that are on the surface of things. That's why, that's why you could have a woman, let's say, has to go to chasna, so she'll take out 10 outfits to look over, like to try on, to look over. And it's a whole, like, avoida. It's a whole tremendous avoida. I mean, if you had to, maybe there are men that do that, that's not normal. But if you have a woman that does that, so then it's very, very, very normal. That's the Seder HaDvar. And in the Shayrish, the Hakol Echad, and it makes things sometimes very, very painful for a woman more than for a man. In the Shayrish, everything is one, and the choices are more difficult to make. It's a very big beginning. I just wanted to bring it up now, but this is what Rebbe's talking about. That's what it means, Hain, Yiras Hashem, Hi Chachma. That's what it means, Isha, Yiras Hashem, Hi Tesalam. the women have a higher degree. Isha Yiras Hashem, Gevaldig Yiras Shemayim. Also, Hein Yiras Hashem. That's the same in Hein Yiras Hashem Yichachma. So, Gam can remember the pasuk, and that's hinted at in the pasuk. Isha Shalom Vim Raimon. Who Yasa Shalom? So Hashem makes Shalom in the higher world. He makes peace between the angels that are opposites, like Gavriel and Michal are opposites, right? Gavriel is from the left, which is Din, and Michal is Chesed, right? And Hashem makes Shalom Vim Raimon. He Yasa Shalom Aleinu. So Hashem is supposed to make Shalom in this world. Isha Shalom Vim Raimon. Yasa Shalom Aleinu. Emosai Nasa Shalom Vim Raimon. When does the Vayne Shalom make Shalom in the higher world? How does Hashem make Shalom in the higher world? It's not like Hashem goes like a referee and pulls them apart, like the Malachim are wrestling with each other and he pulls them apart. What happens is that something even greater is revealed to the Malach of the Sharish, and the Malachim are Misraimim and Mistakim Misharishim. The angels are uplifted and are shown a little bit of a picture, are able to gaze into their root. And Oz him after Mimela when the Malachim are lifted up to that higher place, so they're able to see into their root, and they're able to understand it in their root, they're all one. That's where Rav Kook, that aside from Rav spoke, we spoke last year a little bit about it, not so much on this anymore. Rav Kook spoke about the holiness of war. Even though war is terrible, there's so much suffering and death. He said but it's an interesting thing, he says when Klal Yisrael goes through those type of things, they're lifted up to a place where all Jews become connected to each other. And they're no longer these chilukim. He has a beard, doesn't have a beard, this one has a knitted yarmulke, he has a black leather, suede, plastic, whatever, all the person's lifted up to a higher place. And in Mela, all the chilukim fall away. And therefore, Chazal dash in the pasuk, Oyse Shalom Bimaymer, Hashem makes peace amongst the angels. Even though what Michal comes from the side of water, which is Chesed, and Gavriel comes from the side of Eish, which is fire, Hashem makes peace between them. The Zohar Ramiz B'Gemara, and this is hinted at in the Gemara and Tanis. We're going to talk more on the Maral of this time. So during the week of the consecration of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was actually serving in the capacity of a Kohen. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was not the Kohen, he was temporarily on duty as a Kohen for the first week of the consecration of the Mishkan, those 8 days, right? So Hashem was appointed Moshe Rabbeinu to act as a Kohen. So Chazal is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during that week? What was he wearing? What were the garments? This whole parasha, of course, Tetzav, is focused on what? On the clothing of the Kohen. It's the main point of the parasha. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu wearing? See, here we have Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Levi, but he's acting as a Kohen temporarily. And it's the beginning of the Mishkan. So what was he wearing? He's wearing a white cholik, a type of a robe. I guess it would be more like what you put over, what's it called, a tunic. Shein by Imra, that didn't have any seams. It was one piece. Didn't have any seams, no sewing, no, there were no pieces that were held together by artificially by thread. No seams. No stitches. What does that mean? So the Rebbe says a very deep thing here. Ki yesh l'chol tzadik v'tzadik. V'chinam yuchedes. Every tzadik has his own way. Every tzaddik is different. Mamash is a different world. Sha'ovid ba'as ha'boirei. And each tzaddik serves Hashem in that in his own way, in his own unique way. V'chol b'chini yesh lo gavin yuchedes. And you know that every single way of every tzaddik has a different color. Now we're not going to go into the subject of colors. It's a very fascinating one in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, especially in the Padis Rimayim of the Ramak. In the Padis Rimayim there's a whole shah. There's a whole section of the Padis Yomarin that deals with colors. If you're artistic, if you really, really want to be a Jewish artist, you have to be a Baki in the Shah, in that Shah of the Padis Yomarin. So every different way has a different color. So that's why people are attracted to different colors. Some people talk to like this color, orange, red, blue, all the colors people are attracted to. It's a very natural thing. So Kol B'chini Yesh, every way of serving Hashem, every midah has its own color. Avraham, which is Avram, Of course, the meat of Avram is chesed, but it's begoven anaita l'olavim. The color is naita, it's inclined. It's not entirely, but we're not going to go through it right now, but it's, like we would say in modern times, off-white. I never really understood exactly what that meant, but I remember there were big discussions about my daughter's wedding gown. And I said, I don't know what that means, but it's going to be white. And they said, oh, it's the same thing, off-white. So I said, why are you calling that off-white? I want it to be white. It's white, but it's off-white. This was going on for days. I said, I don't want off-white. I want white. So I don't know what happened in the end. It looked white. Maybe it was that. This is what off-white was. They told me not to worry. I think it was white. So it's like the off-white, I understand that a man's tzitzis is off-white. You know what I mean, right? The Talis Katan is off-white. But that's for different reasons. That's off. You don't buy it off-white. A man's Talis Katan is off-white because, you know, he changes it every Shemitah. So it's off-white. Okay, so it's, by Avraham Avinu's begleven hanayta l'olavim, and it was inclined to white. It was off-white. I don't know. Yitzchak is begleven odayim. Yitzchak is red. Red, din is red. Red, red, red. Yaakov is begleven yaruk. Yaakov is teferis, which is green. And all the stones, of course, on the Urim V'Tumim, and all the colors of the Mishkan, everything is connected to each one of the spheres, each one of the tzaddikim, and the colors is a very, very, very big sugya. It's something that, if to learn it, probably would have to do it for really like a year to spend a couple of shiurim on each color. It's an interesting Indian. A different time, Mitzvah. V'chein Moshe Gargan Yuchedes. And so Moshe Ben had his color. V'chein Ar. V'chein L'chol Tzadik B'Tzadik Nidin Yuchedes V'Gargan Yuchedes. Each tzaddik has his own midah, and he has his own color that is that midah. V'hinei, that's connected very much to the shvatim, and the colors that are in the windows downstairs in the shul are very much connected to that, to the sinyan also. V'hinei, kasher ha-tzaddikim mistaklam al ha'ayim, when the tzaddikim look at that place at the beginning, all the way to the beginning. Remember that in this world, each tzaddik has his own way. But in the root of all existence, it's one. Chachm Yiras Hashem. Hein Yiras Hashem, Hi Chachm. So in the root, it's all one. So when the tzaddik looks at that place at the beginning, which is called Ayin, which is called nothingness, like May Ayin Yavo Ezri, right? Nothing. Where it all comes from at the beginning. May Ayin Basa, the beginning. Then that tzaddik is bodily, becomes totally nullified. He feels that he has no separate, independent existence. He returns to the beginning. Then each one of the tzaddikim is able to serve Hashem with all of the midas of all the tzaddikim. With all the midas of all the tzaddikim, it all comes together. All the rainbow. Mamash the rainbow. And that's the meaning of the rainbow. All the colors, everything. The tzaddik, because there everything is one. There's no chilik, red, white, blue. Blue, black, all the colors. The ha'ayin al she'ein by shum gaven hitziyu. Now ayin. That's why I wanted to correct myself. White is not one of the colors. According to the Paradise and according to the Zohar Kodesh, ayin, nothingness, the crown, my ayin, the beginning, has no color. It's here, and it's called Lovan, white. White. That's why some of the deepest mysteries of the Zohar Kodesh are about the father-in-law of Yaakovin, whose name was Lovan. Lovan Elion, which is very hard to understand. Lovan is not one of our heroes, but he has the most amazing name. What an amazing name. So, in that place of Ayin, there's no color. It's Lovan, it's white. Kasha Kosva Kolam Akkaram, like it's been written many, many places. Shagovan Lovan Enogovan Klal. White is not a color, it's translucent. It's the absence of color. It doesn't separate itself and claim a color. All colors are expressed through it and by means of it. Like a prism. Kilovan Mekabel Kolha Goivan. White receives all colors. Zel haremes. And that's what's hinted at in the Gemara. Bemeshi Mesh Moshe. What did Moshe been aware during those days when the Mishkan was beginning, when it was being prepared, those Kabbalists of the first week? What did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? So he explains. We'll talk more about this in morale if you have a chance. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu alu shalom ha'ayi kain. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a kain. How is this possible? Moshe is not a kohen. So what's he doing acting as a kohen during the during these days of the miluim? He wasn't a kohen.
In those days, they were the kohen.
This is already after Ma'amad HaSinai. Until Ma'amad HaSinai, after Ma'amad HaSinai, there was already...
Right after
Ma'amad HaSinai. Yeah.
This part is before.
That's Machlokes, what it was. I can't believe we're talking... according to this, we're talking about the Mishkan, we're talking about after Ma'amad HaSinai. So how was Moshe Rabbeinu acting as a kohen? The Shamash Bemilun. So remember that when you come back to the place of Ayin, a lady could be a kohen, a Yisachar could be a Zvulun. All those chilukim are only extensions and branches that reach into this physical world. But when you go back to the beginning, Hain Yiras Hashem Yichacha at the beginning. Zer HaRemez. The cholok. Now we understand what it says, cholok, a robe or a tunic. Listen how he explains cholok. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was lifted up to this place of ayin of the beginning, which is everything is one, the tzaddik could become mamish like a little child that goes back all the way to the beginning, before there were differences, before there were separations, before there were fights and machlokes and all these other things, before there were walls, goes back to the beginning. Hisham ain't a near a cloud, and there the tzaddik is completely invisible. And tzaddikim could make themselves invisible. The Kedusha Levi was famous for that. To make himself mamish invisible. So it says, Hisham ain't a near a cloud, chas Hashem shum chalukas amidus. And when you go back to the beginning, then God forbid there are no chalukas amidus. There's no differences between chesed, gvul, tefet, natochid. When you go back to ayin, there are no chalukas amidus. The amidus are not differentiated. There's no differentiation at the beginning. It's only later on as they descend into the world. In the root, there's no separation between what? In Hashem himself, there's no separation between chesed, vut, tiferes, and nice. There's no difference between colors, it's white. Whenever it snows, you get a little bit of a taste of that. In New York, though, by the time it hits the ground, it's so far. But snow is a very, very amazing thing. That's why in itself, the gematria of Shelig itself is a raised 333. As the Tzemach Tzedek points out, it's interesting how the number remains the same. Itself is an amazing thing. 333, that number means, which is Gematria Shelig, which is why Shelig is also a sign of purification. Our sins will become changed from red to white. In the root and source, there are no separations. It's undifferentiated. There's no separation between the different meters. Oz Yavad HaBari is broken between his Kala Tzaddik. And in that place, at the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to serve with all the Kaychas of all the Tzaddik, with all ways, because there's no separation. That's why you can see a Tzaddik also could be like a child. A Tzaddik 1 second could be like this on fire, the next second a Tzaddik. And he used to see by certain Tzaddikim, but the Baal Shem Tov, they used to see his face changing to different colors. Well, the Shemtan, they used to see his face turning red and orange and yellow. Different colors, they used to see his face changing during davening. Sometimes during learning, he would pull the talus further down. And they would try to look, but they saw colors on his face, different colors. Zerem is b'cholik lovin, she'en le'imra. And that's what's hinted at, and it says in the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was able to be everybody, so then he wore this cholik lovin, a white cholik, which had no imra, seams. Shemar la'ayin, because this garment is what? Is a symbol of ayin, of that oneness, of that nothingness, where everything is one. Zohar is shayin by imra. That's the meaning, that it didn't have any seams. That's why it says cholik lovin, means that it means it was one garment, there were no chalukim. It didn't have, that's why the word cholik, it didn't have chilukim. It was one piece. It didn't have separations and pieces. Ki yeis sadik. Because there's such a thing as a tzaddik who returns to that level of ayin of nothing. He reaches up to that level of ayin, but then he comes back to what? Himself. He comes back to that separate, individuated self. Moshe Rabbeinu lived in this constant state of attachment to Hashem. And that's hinted at. If you want Chachma, now remember, Chachma means Kalachma, it means Ayin. Kalachma means the strength of what? It means of nothingness. It means the beginning. And we learned that that's Yiras Hashem, the one who feels or sees, who senses God's presence in everything. So I write to Lahachim, if one is seeking this Midah Chachma Yadrim, that means he faces the Dorum. Dorum, which is south, which means what? Lekabel Tosefes Behirus, from there he receives even more clarity. Why Dorum? Yadrim. Yistakel Beha'ayin. And Mishan Lekabel Tosefes Behirus Ki Dorum, the word Dorum, which means south. Hudar Rum, which means the one who dwells above. Darom is the one who dwells above. Dar Rom. He dwells, Roim is like Roimus. Marom is above. Aisa Shalom Bim Roima. In that place, everything is one. So that's what it means. Hayroitz Elahachim, a person who is seeking this level of divine Chachma, which is Koachma, which is returning to Ayin, where everything is one. Yadrim is Darom, which is Dar Rom. He gazes at that highest Madrega. Hayroim is Ayin, but Zayivur Aditu Shigam Rambam Zamadakti Gazer. And he explains, this is a little bit hard now. We'll do it quickly, because it's Nagat, it's an inyan, that's not on Amadraga. It means it's above Amadraga. He says, the Ramban and the other Mephoshim point out that in Parsha Pekud, the Parsha Pekud, it talks about preparing the garments of the Kahanim. It says, Bekulam, by each of them it says, Kashet Siva Hashem is Moshe. By each of the garments, it says, as Hashem commanded Moshe. V'yasud b'di ha-kodesh, kashi yisiv Hashem es Moshe. V'chem v'chol ha-siv v'chem v'chem kashi yisiv Hashem es Moshe. So in Pekudah, whenever it speaks about how the garment was prepared for the Kohen, it says, by each one, as Hashem commanded Moshe, kashi yisiv Hashem es Moshe. Or in Parshas V'yakel, but by V'yakel, basiyas ha-mishkan, when it talks about the Mishkan being completed, so like Siv Bei Kasha Siv Hashem Moshe, it doesn't say Kasha Siv Hashem Moshe, it doesn't say as Hashem commanded Moshe. Why? Why is it by the begotten, by the garments it does, and by the Mishkan it doesn't? Ki b'chol makom ashek Siv Kasha Siv Hashem Moshe, because wherever it says Kasha Siv Hashem Moshe, chol makom ashek Siv, Remez, what's the Remez, what's the hint? That Moshe niseichel atzmusay lahisig, it means that Moshe on his own couldn't grasp it. He didn't chap what it was. Kashet Siva Shem Moshe, Hashem is Baruch Tal Moshe, going to do this. Kashet Siva Shem Moshe, just do what I'm telling you. But Moshe himself couldn't be masik. Moshe couldn't grasp it. Rak, Hashet Siva Shem Moshe, in Moshe. Kedamina Megmar. Shechina, the verse Mitzvah Gwena Shal Moshe, like Chazal say, that the Shechina, the divine presence, was speaking through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shofar. And Hashem spoke to Bnei Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was just the conduit, the channel, the mouthpiece of Hashem's Baruch. V'hine ha-mishkan ha-yu k'negid Yisrael. Now the Mishkan, we're told in the Zohar Kodesh, the Mishkan is a microcosm of the Jewish people, of the universe, but specifically of Klal Yisrael. Matzlacha Yaakov, Mishkano secha Yisrael. The Mishkan is the Jewish people, k'negid Yisrael, that's why. In every respect, all the different parts of Klai Yisrael were being represented in the Mishkan. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was through the words of Hashem, was bringing about the building of the Mishkan, of a big day kohuna. So now, Moshe Rabbeinu was part of Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is part of Yisrael, therefore, since he's a part of Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu has a hasaga of the Mishkan. It's for him too. He understands it also. It's his chaylik, it's him. So therefore, by the Mishkan, the Rebbe explains, it doesn't have to say, Kashi Siva Shah Kashi Siva. Moshe Rabbeinu had a hasaga. Moshe Rabbeinu grasped it on his own also. He understood. He had a chaylik in. But the big, of a big day kohuna, however, the garments of the priesthood, Moshe lo haya kain. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a kain. It wasn't him. Well, his exist, therefore he couldn't on his own. Since it wasn't him, he couldn't understand it. Only when he would lose his own self. And Hashem would speak through him when he no longer had his own self blocking. And Moshe Rabbeinu would be totally nullified in the presence of Hashem. And Hashem would speak through Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, by the Mishkan, which Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be part of. It doesn't say Kasha Tziva Hashem as Moshe, that he was just receiving it. Because that Moshe is able to grasp as a separate, individuated being. He's part of Klai Yisrael, and every single Jew is a chelik in the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have a sug of that. Now, by Mirus Hashem, he had Mishkan, like in Eged Yisrael, he had Dulei Adichem. However, big day kahuna, the garments of the priesthood, lo hisig b'sechel as Musa Kanal. He could not understand on his own. He didn't have a chelik, it wasn't his. He had to go up to the place of Ayn, of nothing. He had to go up to that place because it was on his own, as an individuated, separate Jew, he wasn't a kohen. Therefore, by the Big Day Kuna, it had to say each step along the way, Kasha Siva Hashem is Moshe, by every single garment, Kasha Siva Hashem, Kasha Siva Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't happen at all. He just had to disappear, and he had to be swallowed up in God, and then God spoke to him. But on his own, he couldn't get it at all. As the Big Day Kuna, he wasn't a kohen. Now we can understand why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the parasha that deals with the Big Day Kahuna. The dots that are done here are not halacha Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way. So, shame Moshe Rabbeinu's tetzav. The name of Moshe Rabbeinu is not found in the parasha that deals primarily with the Big Day Kahuna, with the garments of the Kahuna. Why? Ki parashas tetzav the ikar of Big Day Kahuna nema. The main thing of the parasha is the Big Day Kahuna. Vaya Moshe batul mitzias. The Moshe Rabbeinu was batul mitzias. Kidei what? Lahasig is his Big Day Kahuna. Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared from Moshe Rabbeinu. He was no longer just Moshe, a separate person, a separate Levi, a separate Jew. He had to return to the highest place to lose himself in that divine nothingness. Therefore, in order to receive the parasha of Big Day Kahuna, which was not nogeya to Moshe Batsim, because he's not a kohen. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned as a separate, individuated human being in this parasha. He doesn't exist. How can he have a name if he doesn't exist? Everything is vata, and Hashem kashis also. Shame shall Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. Allah Shalom. The dog hate it. Be careful. Look at this carefully. It's a very deep thing. Now the Maharal. We have on the other side. I'll just read a little bit. Mamish for 2 minutes. There are many, many chapters in the Gevurah Hashem that talk about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Before he was born, how he was born, how he was drawn out of the water, and so on and so forth. The whole life of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Maharal talks about Gevurah Hashem ba'arichus at length. Because you can't understand redemption. The purpose of the Sefer Gevurah Hashem is to talk about redemption, but it's impossible to understand Yetzias Mitzrayim and redemption without understanding Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in this chapter, Chav Tes, which is absolutely astounding, the Maharal is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to communicate, that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. Now you know that the lips are called Sfasayim, right? In Hebrew, lips are Sfasayim, which is the word Sfas Yam, which means the border or the shore. Sfas Yam is Sfasayim, like the ocean, the beach. Sfasayim, because it's the what? Because the mouth is the border between the physical and the spiritual. A human being is a medaber. A human being, therefore, has the ability to communicate thoughts and feelings beyond himself. Therefore, the Gemara tells us in Nida that when the Jewish baby is, when the time inside the mother is finished, a malach gives us a patch on the mouth, and then the baby forgets his learning, and then the baby is born. Why the patch on the mouth? So the Maharal explains that the patch on the mouth is the makabe patish. When you finish making something, like in Hilchos Shabbos, when you finish making something, the last patch, the last clap that you give with the hammer, is the finishing touch. Since the human being is a speaking being, he's a madaber, the last stage in the process of the creation, the formation of human being is a clap on the mouth. And by doing that, we now have brought into the world a human being that combines the physical and spiritual. And the lips, the svasayim, or the svasyam, is like the shore that separates between the inner hidden life of the soul and the external life of the body, the power of speech. That's why when the baby comes into the world, the baby forgets his learning. So, but it's easy to get it back. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was on a different madrega. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have that touch on the mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't forget his learning. But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. Because since Moshe Rabbeinu was not, Maral explains, Moshe Rabbeinu was not just an individual Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu was Chazal say, Shachol connected Klai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is all of Klai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is a transcendent human, he was a human being. Of course, he's in a physical body. But when did Moshe Rabbeinu begin to speak? Only by Har Sinai he began to speak. Eila, Dvarma Shadiva Moshe, Chazal say, Eila. Who's all of a sudden giving speeches? When did Moshe Rabbeinu learn how to speak? By Imam and Har Sinai he learned how to speak. Because a human being, a regular human being, a regular Jew is finished at that early stage when there's a connection between the body and the soul. Moshe Rabbeinu's completion, Moshe Rabbeinu is designed uniquely for the purpose of giving over Torah. Therefore, he's only able to speak. The first words that Moshe Rabbeinu could speak without stammering and stumbling and stuttering was what? Anoich Hashem Elokech. I mean, or those who spoke by Hashem, but afterwards. The first words that Moshe Rabbeinu could speak properly were words of Torah. The rest of us are saying, goo goo goo, ba ba ba, mommy, daddy, pizza, whatever they're saying. So, but Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak only words of Torah. I was discussing this in the entire parak, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a krech hadibur, he did not have the ability to speak as a regular human being speaks when he's born, because a regular human being, his whole mitzvah is that very, very tenuous connection between the other world and this world. But Moshe Rabbeinu was firmly rooted in the other world. He doesn't say, food, mommy, daddy, take me, give me. He says, Anoich Hashem Elokech, he speaks words of Torah. And that's how the Maral explains in Parak Tes Zayin, the Geruza Shem. What's amazing is that even by the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say the name of his parents. It doesn't say Vayelach Amram Vayikach Es Yecheved. What does it say? Vayelach Ish Mebeis Levi Vayikach Es Bas Levi. So the Maral says this is an amazing thing. The most important person in the history of the world is Moshe Rabbeinu. And when he comes into the world, it's like it's hidden. What do you think? It's a game? Vayelach Ish Mebeis Levi Vayikach Es Bas Levi. Even his parents aren't mentioned. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Maral explains, cannot be demoted to being just one person, since he has to be all of Klal Yisrael. And since he's all of Klal Yisrael, since he's all inclusive, like we're learning here, he's connected to the Ayin, which means every Jew. Every Jew is Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's how the Maral explains over here. On the right side, on top. He brings the Gemara Taz to be spoke about, and he says, but Meshimish Moshe Rabbeinu Milurim, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the days of the Milurim? Which we learned, this white tunic or robe without any seams. It's hinting at, here the Maral is talking about everything we were learning just now, the highest level, which is white, and that's why it says Ein lo imra. Imra means a seam. Now, seam is interesting. The seam is what connects two separate pieces. That means that the mouth is called, also, Sfasayim is called the shore. And that's why you see the word Imra, which is the word Lomar, which means to speak. The ability to speak. The seam in Hebrew, in Aramaic, is called Imra. He says the Moshe Rabbeinu wore a white garment without an Imra. It's an amazing thing. It means Moshe Rabbeinu was purely white with the inability to speak. There are no seams. The mouth is the seam of the person. It's when you finish the beggar. The Roy Hori Lashamish Bezen. Vadav is a Hori Vidoso. And that's the need of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why he wore that. Cholak Lovin Shein LeImra Shlohaya Bal Amir. He couldn't speak. He wasn't limited. He wasn't restrained by separate, individuated words. This, that, those. Hello, goodbye. He was everyone and everything until he spoke words of Torah. Cholak Cholak Lovin, a white robe, Amar Ala Seichel, which indicates Seichel, which is the highest intellect, which is what we're talking about, the Ayin. Shulavan Vitzak, which is white and pure, meaning translucent. He said, therefore, the edge of a garment is also called imra, which is like the word lomar, dibur, speech. This isn't some sort of acute hint that I'm telling you. The reason that the seam of the garment is called, or the edge, the seam is called an imra, because the same way that when you sew the garment together, that seam is what's connecting and holding all together, so too the power of man's speech, which is Imra, which is Lomar, Amira, is the Seif, is the end of man, is the Makabapathish, is the completion of man. Therefore, it's only fitting. Royal Moshe l'shamish b'cholak lavan shein loyim. Shabegid on his yachas like it befitted Moshe Rabbeinu such a garment. V'royal b'meshem Moshe hayachaser hagmar shabenas adam gashim. Moshe Rabbeinu is not a regular physical being. He wasn't a separate, individuated human being. He was all of Klal Yisrael. V'begid zeh chaser hagmar gamkein. And therefore, it's just like Moshe Rabbeinu was not completed by his birth. Like, the rest of us become Medaber when we're born. Moshe didn't become Medaber until when? Only when he received the Torah, he became a Medaber. Then he began to speak. Because that's his completion. That's his Koyach. Bring every single one in the world to be able to come to a Madrega, to be able to receive the Torah. That's why his name is hidden. That's why in Haggadah it's hidden. That's why by the Milum he could be a Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu was every man. That's when he's been said that Tzadikim is Pashtusab Lutz Shalmash and Haldar Vidara, that Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Gemara. One Talmud Chacham would call another Talmud Chacham Moshe. It's like the generic name for Talmud Chacham. Moshe Shapir comes. Moshe. Moshe means a Talmud Chacham. And what is Pashtus of the Moshe? Hodor Vador. That the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu is Mispashe. That somehow Moshe Rabbeinu, he makes his way into every Talmud Chacham. He's present in every generation. The Moshe Rabbeinu in each generation, the leader of the Jewish people. And a leader is called a dabar, a spokesman. There's a lot to talk about here. It really means the entire parak of Pesim, Gurus Hashem, which is a world unto itself. I once spoke about it in this year, maybe 9 years ago. Parshas Shmos, the holy name of Kachadiv with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's probably some silly name that I gave, but I think it shows up in the name somehow. That speaking, but it's Parshas Shmos on the end of Kachadiv.